Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Incredibly dramatic win for Italy, but obviously a major upset for England, who is hosting the final. And now there's another shadow hanging over this because the three English players who missed the penalty shots have been targeted by a torrent of racist abuse. Redmond Shannon joins us now from London with that and really overall the mood going on there. But let's begin with that, Redmond. What is the mood in England this morning?
Good morning, Anthony. Yeah, well, obviously one of the main elements of the mood here is disappointment. There's such excitement in England ahead of this final, England's first final in a major men's tournament in 55 years. Hopes were so high, but it wasn't to be. Italy came out on top, as you say, and those sentiments of disappointment today in England are mixed with anger at the targeting of the three English players, one of them as young as 19, Bukayo Saka from London. He missed the last penalty kick to give Italy the title. And he and the other two, Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, have all been targeted online with racist abuse. The coach this morning, Gareth Southgate, called it unforgivable. Prince William, who's president of the Football Association here, said he's sickened by the racist abuse and says it must stop now and those involved must be held accountable. Prime Minister Boris Johnson also tweeted saying this England team deserved to be lauded as heroes, not racially abused on social media. Those responsible for this appalling abuse should be ashamed of themselves. Now, despite that, earlier in the tournament, we saw, and throughout the tournament, the English players take a knee and for racial justice and racial equality just before every kickoff. And on every occasion, England fans booed their own players. And Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his Interior Minister Priti Patel here, the Home Secretary, both were asked if that should be condemned. They both refused to condemn the booing of England players by their own fans for taking a knee. And many today are pointing that out and saying that that perhaps encouraged the racism that we see online today, the ongoing racism. Take a listen to the former England player Gary Neville and his take on this.
There is an issue, obviously, in football. There is an issue in society where we feel it's acceptable, basically, to criticise players for sporting actions because of the colour of their skin. But I have to say, you know, accepting and validating that players who take the knee, like I was saying, we're promoting equality, inclusion, and defending against racism, is coming from the very top. And that, you know full well that if your parents do something, your children will follow.
The other issue, Anthony, that people are talking about today is the storming of the stadium yesterday by many unticketed fans, making basically rushing the turnstiles. I was at Wembley. People were drinking, were drunk from early on in the day. The game didn't start till 8 p.m. The scenes there were pretty disturbing. Many fans did get access to the stadium and were taking seats taken by ticketed fans. A big worry for the English Football Association as it tries to bid for the 2030 World Cup.
Yeah, and it gets a little frightening with that amount of people, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. We all, of course, know that English fans are passionate. The passion obviously has a negative side as well. But we can't overshadow the win by Italy, and this was really an incredible win given the circumstances of this, and really a story of redemption, isn't it, for this country?
Yeah, in many ways, Anthony. First of all, Italy, of course, four-time World Cup winners. This is their second European title. But in 2018, the most recent tournament, the most recent World Cup, Italy didn't even qualify, which is unthinkable for Italy. So they were down in the depths, and now they're at the top. And given the pandemic and how it affected Italy perhaps more than any other European country, at least in the earlier part of the pandemic, this is greeted with such joy on the streets of Italy. Very similar scenes to Montreal and Toronto you'll see right across the world in with Italian communities, and particularly in Italy. So definitely something to smile about for Italians all around the world.
Yeah, hard-fought tournament, hard-fought win, no question about it. Redmond, thank you so much for this. Redmond Shannon joining us from London.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast. We'll do the particulars and all that. Man, I've said over the years, sometimes I'll listen to like half of a clip. Sometimes I won't listen to it at all. I want to be surprised so I can hear it all with you all. I'd heard, because they talked a lot about the racism at the UEFA Cup this past week. I mean, a lot before the flood and everything. Like, ooh-wee, that was front page news. What a disgrace. Oh, blah, blah, blah. But wait a minute. They said the storming of the stadium, drinking, unruly mobs of it. Now, this is one. What is the racial classification? Now, did the folks who stormed the stadium, these, what is it? What is the word we've been using for the book club? If these were drunken yahoos, did they look like Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, Bukayo Saka? Did they look like that, or did these look like Brits, individuals who would be classified as white? And then they said, after all this, what have I said for years? One of the worst combinations in the known universe, certainly on planet Earth, individuals classified as white, alcohol. Oh, things are about to go off the rails. So they storm the stadium, no tickets, burst down Wembley. I thought for a moment they were going to say they burst into the Capitol and stormed the insurrectionists. Donald Trump won. It's like, oh, wait a minute, it's not even the right country. And they said, you know, British fans are passionate. Dude, what? It's no way in the world they could look like Bukayo Saka, Marcus Rashford, and it would just, oh, yeah, they're passionate. You know, they get riled up about a little football. Are you out of your flipping mind? Context of white supremacy worldwide. This is our once a month global Sunday talk on racism, white supremacy. The founder of Black Talk Radio Network, Mr. Scotty Reed, points out regularly when they brand black people victims of racism who are out upset about some aspect of their terrorism, they brand us as rioters. But like, hey, 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 white people riot over ball games all over the world. Team wins, team loses. Either way, get drunk and riot. It's so much to talk about this week. It's almost embarrassing that we have to start out talking about a ball game, but that was big news all over the world and the racist antics that followed. We will get right to our international participants. If we have folks in the States, you are certainly welcome. Dial in, ask questions. We'll start off hearing from folks in different parts of the world. Let's see if we have from already stated the UK. He might, I don't know, we might have one of the rowdy hooligans who was out in the street. Andrew, were you out running around in the street at Wembley Stadium this week, sir?
No. First of all, hi Gus and everyone that's listening. No, I wasn't. Not at my age. Maybe if I was a you know, 20, 30 years younger, I may have been there. But not with, maybe years and years ago.
Oh, see, we caught him a little too late. If we had caught him, maybe he said about 20 years ago, he might have been one of those hooligans out running around at Wembley Stadium and all the rest of it. Good to hear from Andrew. We'll certainly check in. The flooding, the riots, there was so much to talk about. Let's see. African 1884 with us in Austria, so not as connected with the soccer shenanigans, although I'm sure he heard about it. We will check in about the flooding and so much more. African 1884, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am, Gus. How are you? How are you to the listeners? How are you, Andrew?
Good to hear from you, sir. I am right poorly, but so excited. As I said, it's so much to get to with folks who dialed in. And let's see, I am so bad with the countries. Let's see. Adam, was you in, is it Sweden? I might be wrong. My memory isn't
Sweden.
Ah, got it. Adam in Sweden, so no soccer hooligans per se. I don't even think the flooding hit there per se, but man, the Rona and so much more to check in about. So good to hear from you, Adam in Sweden. I guess let's get the yes sir. Let's get the minutia out of the way. Although it was serious, like people all over the world, it is not basketball. It's not American football. It is for real football. That is the number one sport. Lots of people all over the world watch the Euro Cup. They were watching it here. I said that a couple days ago on the broadcast, right here in Seattle. They had it at numerous bars. They were watching it, and I mean loudly cheering and all the rest of it. The race before the flood and all that, this was major news. We'll start with our guy Adam in the UK, who may have been, he might just be pulling our legs saying he would have only done this back in his teen years. Are you a football fan? Were you watching all of this? And I guess this is pretty normal, racism against black soccer players, but this one, they're blaming the black soccer players for missing these penalty kicks, and then they go online and attack the mural and all the rest of it. Did you pay attention to all of this?
So is that to me, Gus?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you... Yeah, I mean, you know, like everybody here, we, you know, we watched all of the, I watched the whole tournament. I watched all of the games pretty much. I love football. I've been playing football for years and years and years. I've always been an expert football player, right? So, no, I've played it since I was a kid, like we all do, all of us. That's just what we, you know, what we play if we're in England or Europe, living in this part of the world. Yeah, I watched that game. You know, I mean, the
let's see. Andrew, are you still there? Oh, it looks like he got paused. Maybe he got a call. I was nervous. I was like, what is going on? What is going on here? let's see. Andrew, we're not hearing you. I don't know if you... Maybe you got a call or something happened. Not hearing you, good sir. If you are with us, we are not hearing you. Might be some interference. We'll give him a second to tune back in. If anything, the whole incident, if people like in the States or other parts of the world, if you did not keep up with what happened with the soccer tournament and them blaming these three black players for them losing in the championship game to Italy, like just further illustrations of why we should not have our children in these white dominated racist activities. I think we given lots of them stateside in terms of the American football, brain damage, lots of reports of sexual abuse. That's all in the Olympics. Just had that too. So much to talk about this week for the U.S. Olympic team anyway, where they were sexually abusing the female gymnasts and probably male gymnasts too, and all the rest of it. It's lots of reasons. You can find other ways to get your child active and exercising. It does not have to be through organized white athletics. The racism, the sexual abuse, I mean, it's just on and on and on and on and on. And again, depending on which physical activity, could be brain damage. All right, let's see. Andrew, in the UK, did we get you again? Let's try.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there. Yeah, I'm not sure how much of that you heard. The line went a bit iffy.
We got up to, we heard about your expertise in playing soccer, playing football, started out at a young age. You were watching that. You said you had watched the tournament all the way up. You, of course, watched the last game, and then the audio went out.
Well, okay. So, yeah, we watched the penalty shootout. I'm not going to bother to talk about football with you, but it's a bit ridiculous bringing on your three attacking players, including the white guy Grealish, great player, right? But you know, there's not much point bringing them on right at the very end. Totally and utterly ridiculous. He, you know, the captain, sorry, the manager Southgate, who, you know, did a good job up until that, got England to the final, and then he decided to bring on all of his attacking players in the last few minutes of the game, you know, so not a very good decision by him. And then you had three young kids stuck there, right? Two of them, you know, quite new to their careers, playing for big teams in the Premier League. You know, we get all that. But, when you take penalties, right, your ability on the pitch is irrelevant. Anybody can score or miss a penalty, You know, this is not about, you know, technical know-how. When you're simple, you can only go three ways, left, right, or in the center, right? So that's it. It's as simple as that. So anyone, Gus has got, you know, you've got a good enough chance of scoring or missing a penalty as Ronaldo or Messi, right? Totally stupid on the part of the manager. But forget all that. That's irrelevant, because what's relevant here is the fact that is the racial abuse. And frankly, right, it is normal run-of-the-mill behaviour from white racist English fans going back 50 years, going back ever since I've been watching football. In this country, there's been bananas, coins chucked at black players, racial abuse, week in, week out, for 50, since black players have been playing football in England. And I'm going to go as far as to say it's the same or worse all over Europe, and what white people like to call the Middle East. You know, we go and play football there, you play football in Russia, you play football anywhere in Europe as a black player, as a non-white player, but particularly as a black player, right, you will suffer, right, racial abuse from racists. That is what white European football fans are, racist, and have always been. Let's be clear about this. It's not new. What you saw happen, what we've heard happen on social media would have happened 40, 50 years ago if social media existed. You know, it's as simple as that. So it's nothing new. The only question I would ask, I totally understand playing in the Premiership and getting paid £1 million a month or whatever them guys get paid. But why don't you go and play for Nigeria or Jamaica or Trinidad Tobago, or wherever your people come from? Why do you need to go and play for England? Sorry, I've got to say this, right? So if all of the Jamaican heritage players, right, went and played for Jamaica, Jamaica would be in the World Cup year in, year out, right? And that's the thing that I want to say loud and clear here, right? I understand the brainwashing. I get that. Right? We all grew up with that. I went to school with that. I get that, right? But I hope all of the young non-white players, right, because of this, sorry, but I've got to say, go and play, right, for the countries where their parents come from. At least you won't suffer as much racist abuse, not only directed against them as young kids, because they're kids. If you're 19, right, your first year at university, you're a kid, you know, and so you and your family, you know, those young guys and their families are suffering that, and their nieces, their nephews. And, you know, there's been stories of young kids, right, young black kids not wanting to go to school the next day because of all the antagonism they will get from white kids, right? So it's all of that, right, in this country, right? And that's the God's honest truth. You know, that's the God's honest truth. I had a white woman, right, on Friday tell me that that's the story that one of her friends told her, that the little boy doesn't want to go to school the next day, you know. So that's what it is. That's what it's been, right? After those three young black kids basically, you know, missed those penalties and then were just full on, you know, they suffered full on racist abuse. But so did everybody else, pretty much. Whether it was subconsciously whether it was quiet, you know, non-verbal. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people think it, and you know what they're thinking. You know what they said after the match on Sunday night. You know that. Do you know what I mean? But you know, it's not new. It's very, 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 very old. I'm not sure if you heard what John Barnes had to say about all of this, and I'm not bigging up John Barnes, but he played football in the mid 80s, right? So he suffered all of that, you know, monkey chants, banana skins, tons of bananas being, you know, chucked onto the football pitch, coins being, you know, flung at his head, you know, all of it. You know what I mean? So none of it's new. None of it is new. And all black players suffered the same thing over the years. Every single one of them.
Context of white supremacy. Footballer extraordinaire Andrew in the UK, and I mean, this is like well documented in terms of the abuses that black players, non-white players have faced throughout Europe, not just in England, throughout. I mean, they've done, the BBC has done documentaries on this, and ITV, and many, many outlets. You know, they've got all these little tacky campaigns, kick it out, talking about, you, in fact, you heard at the beginning of the segment, they said before we got to the Sunday defeat to Italy, that the British players had been taking a knee, a la Colin Kaepernick, the other football. And they said they went to President Johnson, Prime Minister Johnson, who again sounded very much like that guy that used to be in the White House. When they would go and ask him, what do you think about that Colin Kaepernick? That guy, these sons of bitches, they should be fired. Get that guy out of here. You're fired. Remember that one? Guy that used to be in the White House, he hated that. People said, coming out here, taking a knee and all this, disrespecting the flag, and we come out here to do save our queen, God save the queen, and they want to come out here and take a knee about some flipping racism and nonsense and say, hey, Prime Minister Johnson, what do you think about these folks coming out here and booing the team, the national squad, because they're taking a knee? Oh, well, you know, I don't... Be unequivocal about it. Like, whoa, wait a minute now. What did you have any thoughts on that one, Andrew?
What of Boris Johnson, his attitude towards taking the knee?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, again, you know, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of them, you know, they're all racist. All of them are racist. So, you know, this is what people really have to understand. You know, Boris Johnson is just a racist. You know, him and all of his people. You know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's not going to give a monkey stuff. He's going to look on them taking the knee, and he's just going to basically look at them as a bunch of monkeys, basically. You know, it's as simple as that. A bunch of monkeys just go, who the hell are they? Why don't they just be more grateful? Just get up and get on with it. Who the hell are they? Who the hell do they think they are? Why don't they just get up and get on with it? And, you know, that's his basic, that was his basic attitude. And it's interesting because on the one hand, he can have that attitude verbally on television and you know, it's recorded. And on the other hand, after the racist abuse against these three young kids, because I see them as just children, right? Apparently he's like, oh God, it's terrible. You know, the racist abuse, you know, it's really, really awful. That's called being a hypocrite, right? So that is, so that's who Boris Johnson is. That is the man that he is. It's as simple as that. You know, you can't be, I mean, again, a lot of this, I always ask the question, bearing in mind that is his response and all of his minions, that is their response. What should if you're a young player, if you're father of a kid who wants to play football, right, wants to play football, then, you know, really, what should our response be as responsible, you know, non-white parents, black parents? Should we say to our children, yeah, you should aspire to play football for England? That's great. Bearing in mind the Prime Minister's attitude towards taking the knee, right? You know, and not only him, but the fans booing as well, right? And then somebody who looks like you misses a penalty, and then all the whole of England takes to Twitter and social media slagging you off, people that look like you. Should you then tell your son, yeah, go and play for England? That's a good thing to aspire to. That's, you know, that's the real question. That has to be the question. You know, that has to be the question. Or should you tell your son, you know what? Yeah, play Premiership football, you get paid a ton of money for that. But when it comes to representing nationally, nah. I come from Trinidad Tobago. I come from Jamaica. I come from St. Lucia. I come from Grenada. I come from, you know, Martinique. I come from Haiti. You know, no, you play for the motherland, or Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, you know, Angola. You know, Zimbabwe. You know, yeah, play for one of these countries. You know, you got dual heritage. You got a passport. Yes, play for, because at least they're not going to boo you for the color of your skin. You know, and that has to be the question for me.
Context of white supremacy. Excellent point. Go play. the Angola national team, I very seriously doubt they would have booed and called you all of those names for missing a penalty kick. I think they would have handled it with some class. We're disappointed, but we're still proud. Good job. Get them next time. Now we're going to cocoon and all the rest that, like, yeah, go play for the national team, the Angola national team. Pick one. Jamaican national team. Pick one. Mozambique national team. Love it. Before we get to the floods, next topic, floods in Europe. Our callers, let's see, we have African 1884 in Austria, Adam in Sweden. I know this was kind of a big thing in England specifically. Did either of you all have any commentary on the soccer, racism, white supremacy? I know this was a big event worldwide. Any commentary you wanted to add to soccer before we push off to the floods?
I had a comment.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
A short one. Okay. Yes, all of this is because of a trophy that would be put on the shelf and collect dust. That's my comment.
That's Adam in Sweden. See, his country, so-called, wasn't in the final, so they can have that sort of attitude. They didn't get a chance to get the trophy, but... excellent point. All of this over a trophy that will collect dust in the trophy room of someone classified as white, no doubt. Any other soccer comments before we push off to the floods?
Yes, Gus. Can I be heard?
African 1884 in Austria.
Yes. Can I be heard? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Now it's quite interesting that I've been asking myself ever since, I mean, just like what Andrew said, that these experiences are very common if you play soccer as a black person in Europe. You know, you get humiliated, you get they cuss you out and everything. If you win and you play well, then they're like, okay, they'll label you as one that belongs to their country and to their team. But if you make a mistake, miss a penalty, or don't score enough goals, then all the cuss words come up. Now, the thing is that looking at the concluded championship in the UK and Italy winning, I feel like it's a pity for most of us black people, because I see that when I travel back home to Uganda and when I visit Kenya, there's a lot of love for European teams. People have posters and even sweaters, jackets and t-shirts of these European soccer teams, you know? And I always try and tell some of my friends that, listen, these guys they don't even know any of the African teams. You know, you ask any single white person in Europe if they know any one African or black soccer team in the world. They could name one individual player, but a team, we have no concern for them. They don't even think about them. But if you turn it the other way around, we're very invested as black people in these teams. You know, we even worship them on the African continent, Liverpool, Manchester, and what have you. You know, I'm not a soccer fan, but, you know, I see it around in my community in Uganda, in Kenya. Now, it is also interesting to see that the correlation between racism, white supremacy, and how that is linked to a leather ball being kicked around on a soccer field. You know, I wonder where that comes from. You know, because in the commentary that you played right at the beginning of the show, someone was talking about the European fans are very passionate. No, they're just racist. But I want to know, where does this racism come in terms of this is a leather ball being kicked on the field? Why are you so passionate about that you have to hate a black person? You could even kill them for that. You know, that's my comment. Thank you.
Welsing moment, indeed. And I am not a football fan either side of the pond. However, I do think some black people have been killed by some of these yahoos, as they call them. At these soccer games, I am sure that has happened. And even some players been threatened. If a player hasn't been out and out killed, I'm sure fans and all the rest, I think as Andrew in African 1884 said, it's not even just specific were localized, right, just to the individual black player, that you messed up, you messed the kick up or didn't score enough goals or whatever it is, it becomes all of you niggers are bad and should be kicked out of the country and, you know, all the rest of it. You're worthless and good for nothing. Like, dang, why do you do that with the white players? Like, it's all of us, not just I'm going to be upset with this one player for one day. No. All of you are worthless and to blame. Like, wow. And should be killed. Like, really? All of this for a leather ball? That Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. New topic. Moving to the floods. I thought this was important. Even bringing in Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. She said, hey, she said it repeatedly. Like, we start getting our act together and focusing in a serious manner, we might get some help in solving this problem. One thing she talked about all the time, those ball games, fertility rates. She had been talking about that up to the time of her passing in 2015. In 2060, a number of reports suggest, predict, by 2060, 60% of the white males in North America and Europe will be infertile. What does a world like that, what does it look like? How does a system of racism, white supremacy, if Dr. Welsing is accurate, all this is about white genetic annihilation, what does that sort of world look like? Like, wow, is that white supremacy, racism on the wane? Is that an opportunity to get rid of the system? That in conjunction with, they're calling it climate change. They had historic flooding in Europe this week. I believe in Germany, they said at least 120 deaths so far, and they still are going through the wreckage, and they're saying that this is a result of so-called climate change. You folks are right there, I am sure, because this was after all the racism and them fussing at these black children, as Andrew pointed out, very young black soccer players. After they got done with all that, like, oh my gosh, we got something serious instead of a child's game. Wow, the flooding. What are you all's thoughts? How is that being talked about over there? And do you all think that this is so-called climate change? Let's see. Let's start with everybody should have thoughts on this one, or at least we'll see. We'll start with Adam. Your thoughts on this one? Adam in Sweden.
I think it's climate change, but the news kind of got like overshadowed by all the shootings. There's been a bunch of shootings here in Sweden, a police officer getting shot, children getting shot. So it kind of like came and went.
Wow, that is crazy. I didn't even hear about that. Let's see. Sweden stunned by rare shooting of police officer as gang violence worries grow. What in the world? Let's see. Swedish caretaker Prime Minister Stefan Löfven expressed outrage on Thursday over the killing of an off-duty police officer, a rarity in the Nordic country, calling it an attack on our open society amid growing concerns over gang violence. What in the world? Was the suspected perpetrator a non-white person or a white person?
I have no idea. They don't specify if it was white or non-white. It was really frustrating to me.
Wow.
But if it's a black person, it would be a big picture, you know, front page. So.
When they talk about this gang violence in Sweden, are these like white gangs? Are they non-white gangs? Is it not specified?
I think it's a mix, some non-white, some white, it's a mix of both.
Wow, that is amazing. Not that I read Sweden news every day, but wow, like I do not recall hearing about police getting gunned down in Sweden very often. Like that is... Wow, we've had guests on from Sweden before. They weren't talking about this. They were talking about, you know, white people practicing racism at the universities and such. But wow, okay. That's Adam in Sweden with the floods that kind of got pushed aside to gang violence and police officers being shot and killed. Let's see, African 1884, your thoughts on the flooding. Do you think this is so-called climate change? Could this be a part of getting rid of racism, white supremacy potentially?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's. I don't know. I have conflicting views in regard to this. I know we're in a dominant system of race and white supremacy. So what I've been told by white folks, you know, I mean, also in the space that I work in, because we deal a lot with the environment and climate change, that they've told me that it's climate change that's responsible for all these droughts and floods and everything. So they have more information than I do have. So I'll take their word for it, you know. But then again, I suspect what they say, you know, and I haven't done enough research to doubt if it's climate change or not, you know. So again, I'll take their word for it. But the floods have not been, Austria has not been hit that hard. Just the streets have been flooded a little bit, but they've not reported any deaths yet.
Wow. Did you all get the heavy rains and such, or?
Yes, we did. Especially yesterday we did. Yeah. And today, yeah. But yesterday was really, really, really heavy. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. I didn't even know Austria was in the region. I know they said like the Netherlands and Belgium and Germany got the brunt of it and a lot of casualties and such. But wow. Okay. Is this for the time that, I know you weren't born in Austria, but just for the time that you've been there, is this irregular, this weather that you all have experienced?
No, this is the first time that it has rained this hard. You know, I've never experienced this. I've been here for the last 21 years, so this is the first time I'm experiencing this. Yeah.
Okay. Still in, or yeah, holding out. Why, as individuals classified as white have more information, they are attributing this to climate change. Still have to question. That is encouraged. Question. They do a lot of deceiving and lying. Let's see. Andrew in the UK, your thoughts on the so-called climate change and flooding that's taking place. Do you think this might in some way help with the replacement of white supremacy with justice?
I doubt that somehow. But good if it did, though. But yeah, it's been reported on quite heavily here on TV. Floods in Germany in particular, and to a lesser extent, I think, floods in other European countries. But the focus to me seems to be, in terms of the British news, seems to be floods in Germany. And I've seen loads and loads of pictures about that. Quite sad, really, you know. excuse me, when you see people's... houses washed away and this, that, and the other, and all the rest of those things. But your ex-leader didn't seem to believe that. His phrase was, "Climate change is fake news." That was his go-to phrase, wasn't it? And a lot of people seem to go along with that because it doesn't cost you anything. You just pretend things are not happening. I think climate change is real. You see, capitalism, which is, if you like, a white construct, what it does, uses things up and spits it out. You know, it's like slash and burn farming. You know, you use a little bit, you burn it to pieces, and then you just move on, and then you just keep consuming and destroying, and that's what Western society is based on. That's what white society is based on. You use it up, spit it out. The thing is, the world's resources are not infinite, right? And you've got to look after it. It's not Western society does not look after the globe in reality, you know. And I believe I'm not a climatologist or nothing like that, but I personally think there's a link between industrialized Western style industrialization and what's happening with global warming and flash floods and all the rest of those things. I personally think there's a link, you know. The question is, as Africa and Africans develop, will we adopt European ways of doing things? You know, will we adopt, you know, the whole Donald Trump way of doing things, which is to use it up, spit it out, and don't give a monkey stuff about anything or anybody, you know, because you're 70, in your mid-70s, you're going to be dead before it becomes a problem for your grandkids, Is that the way that we as Africans are going to basically work with the globe? It's a question.
Adam, in the UK, context of white supremacy, but that emphasis on your leader, like Gus T voted for it. They don't even count my vote. That was his go-to, President Trump. That's fake news. Fake news, climate change. That's fake news. Fake news. Whew, the good old days of Trump being president. I think the same thing African 1884 said. Individuals classified as white have more information than I do, and I also not a climatologist. That said, I said yesterday, I am in Seattle, Washington, where it is notoriously not super hot. I think the current temperature, it's like 77 degrees. I'd have to do the conversion. That's probably around 20 C. Very mild summer weather. It was 100 degrees for three consecutive days. That has never happened here, ever. In fact, they said they had had prior to that heat event last month, they had had three total recorded days of 100 degree heat Fahrenheit in the city of Seattle, according to White Recorded Record. That heat wave, there were three consecutive days of 100 degree heat. Even one day it got to 110. So seems like there could be something awry, and white people to blame. That would be my assessment of it. They could just call that more manifestation of racism, white supremacy, as he said, the way that everything just becomes something to be poisoned, dump toxins. Said that documentary, The People vs. Agent Orange, that is the global system right there, and exactly even what we're talking about. Go in and dump chemicals and toxins to deliberately destroy this part of the planet. Non-white people live there, and while we're doing this, harming lots of even non-white people who are U.S. troops, even some white troops, but lot disproportionately, they say, non-white troops, black troops over even getting impacted with that and having all sorts of health problems and lung issues after they leave the armed forces, Vietnam veterans, they say. So that's just the system of white supremacy, totally destroy everything. What they call climate change could be a product of that. Still learning. The number again is 720-716-730. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Take advantage if you have a question you would like to ask. We have victims joining from, again, Austria, the UK, Sweden. Feel free. Get a question in, something that you want to learn about, different parts of how racism, white supremacy works around the globe. Normally, we would have already talked about the COVID-19 situation. There's been so much craziness happening, racism, but so many different events happening all around the world, the assassination in Haiti and protests on the continent. Make sure we get our COVID-19 update here in the States. It's been full steam ahead for the most part. Here in Seattle, Washington State, they dropped a lot of the required restrictions, and that's been the case in a lot of other areas. But then the past week or so, it's been, spikes in the virus, and they've gone back to requiring masks in certain areas, California in some spots and other locations. So it's kind of looking like more confusion as we move through the summer. I know in the UK, they were talking about lifting restrictions soon, and then Boris Johnson got, pinged, where apparently he may have come in contact with someone who tested positive, so he had to quarantine and all the rest of it. So we'll kind of go to each location and get the Rona update for this month. Andrew in the UK, who is fully vaccinated, I think has been fully vaccinated for about a month or a little over. What's the status with regards to the restrictions and everything in the UK? What are you seeing there? And is it looking like they're going to be requiring vaccines or no? Andrew in the UK? Let's see. Are we hearing you? Andrew in the UK?
Hi, Gus. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get the phone on.
Sorry, are you asking about Boris Johnson?
Well, let's see, specifically just your thoughts. If you want to just give like a general update, what are things looking like in terms of how the country is responding to COVID-19 at this point, lifting restrictions? Are you all seeming like you're moving to lifting restrictions or going backwards, staying kind of the same? And then does it look like they're going to be requiring vaccines?
Right. Okay. Well, it's an interesting picture, isn't it, really? Because I'm trying to remember the percent of people that have had both jabs. A high percentage of people in the UK now have had both jabs, even more as you know, has had a single jab. I personally think that people are moving around as if the lockdown is pretty much finished. You go into a shop, half the people are wearing masks, half the people are not. The ones that are wearing the mask are simply not wearing the mask properly, or it's just the dirty mask that they've had in their pocket for about a week. People, so people are trying to pay a little bit of lip service to all of that. But really, I think it's full steam ahead. You know, if you, especially on a day like today, that's boiling hot. Sorry about that. You know, you walk down the street on a day like today, all the pubs are open. The pubs are packed. Last night, you walk down the road in the West End, maybe, you know, that's like central London. If you go somewhere like Soho or some such place like that, it's jam packed with people. So, you know, it's game on, really. You know, it's full steam ahead. I mean, you know, the official day to have everything go back to normal, I think, is sometime this week, if not tomorrow, but it's sometime this week, the 19th. But I suppose that means cinemas and theatres, to my knowledge, and everything else is open anyway. Everything else is open. So, you know, I can't really, it's game on now, basically, you know. It's a bit of a funny one, though, because you've still got sections of the public that have not taken the vaccine. Certain groups still haven't taken the vaccine, for whatever reason. And it is true, the deaths are happening in those groups. You know, the deaths are happening more or less in the groups of people that have not taken the vaccine. That's the truth of it. So, you know, I mean, that seems to be where things are in the UK.
Is it looking like, you said it seems like a substantial number of folks have been vaccinated. They have got both jabs. Is it looking like is going to be some push towards mandating that you get a jab to be employed or do something? Or is that not being discussed right now?
Not being discussed. I think there was a little bit of discussion about that a few months ago. But I think the government, like all things, has shied away from that. What you've got happening, though, is individual employers coercing employees to get the double jab or simply not hiring people if they refuse to have the double jab or if they haven't already had it. You know, I heard somebody on the radio who runs a nightclub basically saying, a nightclub saying all of our people have been double jabbed. Right. So you've got individual employers, that are making that happen, you know. But I very much doubt the government will mandate that. They couldn't mandate that. It's as simple as that. Nobody, you know, people would just, probably similar to America. It's our civil liberties to not take the jab. And it is. They're correct. You can't force people to take anything. But what you can do, you can make life difficult for people if they don't. And that includes traveling abroad. You know, and so you will get other countries as well in Europe simply saying, as is happening now, simply saying, if you are not double jabbed, you're not coming into our country, or you're going to have to isolate. When you come on holiday to our country, you will need to sit in your hotel room for 7 days, you know, stuff like that. And when you come back to the UK, as is the case now, when you come back from certain countries on the amber list, you've got to isolate for X amount of days and so on and so forth. You know, so that's where it all is now. So I very much doubt Boris Johnson and his cronies will dare to mandate that one.
Interesting. That's Andrew joining us from England. Let's see, getting our Rona update throughout Europe. Adam is in Sweden. Now this will be unique because Sweden is one of those, unique regions where they didn't do all this. You know, we got a shutdown and everything. No one came out and said that the Rona is fake. Not that, just, you know, common sense. You know, you all use your good judgment. We're not going to shut everything down. Stay inside. Don't go out high-fiving everybody and behave yourselves. They didn't do all the mask mandates and all that stuff. I think it was until very recent, maybe even this year. And even think about that. Maybe, I think Adam told us that this year for a brief period, it did seem like cases were going up a bit. And they said, all right, so pretty please, sugar on top, if you kindly would wear a mask during rush hour on the train, that would be great. And I also think that was the last that we heard of, like, rules or mandates in Sweden. So where do things stand now in Sweden and vaccine update? Are they talking about vaccines there, all that? If you want to share, if you personally want to get the vaccine and all that, if you don't want to share, that's great, too. Adam in Sweden?
70% of the population have taken the first dose and of the vaccine, and 45% have gotten the second one as well. And there's only one restriction that has been uplifted, and that is the amount of people that can be in one place. No, I haven't taken the vaccine.
No vaccine for Adam in Sweden. Are you concerned, like, I guess, what we were hearing, Adam, in the UK about making things difficult? Like, has it been any talk like, if you don't get this vaccine, you might not have employment, or if you don't get this vaccine, you're not going to be able to travel, or you're going to have to quarantine if you leave the country and try to come back? Has it been anything like that to try to coerce you?
No, it has been only signs of saying, if you have any questions about the vaccine, and they calling people as well and stuff like that. So I'm waiting for it.
Interesting. I know we had folks in the States who said that their like attempted family members and relatives would like shame them and say things because they weren't vaccinated. Have any of your attempted family members, have they tried to get on you like, hey man, come on, get that vaccine?
Yeah, I think one of my family members, I haven't talked to him yet, but I think if I do talk to him, he'll kind of force me to take it. He's old too, so, and he has taken both of the doses.
Interesting. We have heard that some of the older folks who have been especially encouraging, I'll say, like, get out there and get that vaccine. What's wrong with you? Get out there and get that vaccine. I guess I might have that position if I was in what they say is a vulnerable population. I might feel that way too. Let's see. African 1884 in Austria. What's happening there with the vaccine policy and all? Is it still pretty heavy-handed about the vaccine and the restrictions and such?
Yeah, in Austria at the moment, there's still some pushback with regard to people getting vaccinated. I would say there are 60% vaccinated people, at least 40%. I think that's still big. Some countries have gone up, up to 90%, even 100% vaccinated their populations. So Austrians are still trying to sensitize people into accepting taking the vaccination. With regard to, again, getting vaccinated, there's the 3G rule in Austria where if you're to access any space like a gym or a disco or a supermarket, you have to be either tested or vaccinated or have recovered from COVID-19. Now, that previously said that if you had had COVID-19, if you had been infected with COVID-19 and you recovered from it, you don't get a vaccine. You can only get a vaccine after 6 months. So that's the case with me, because I told you about my situation when I went to Uganda. Now, I tested positive just this month, and then I recovered already. Now, I thought I was going to have to wait until January to get a vaccine, but now they've changed that. They're saying that you can get a vaccine within 3 weeks or something, you know. I'm not in a hurry to get it yet. Like as I think I previously said this on the show, that if it's mandated for my work contract and for travel, then I'll immediately go get it. But as of now, no, I'm in no hurry to do it. In regard to making it mandatory, I've been told, I think they've mentioned it, that starting from August 15th, if you want to go to a disco, they specifically mentioned discos and gyms, you need to be vaccinated. You know, I think they're getting this from France and also Italy. Italy and France have made it mandatory for medical workers to be vaccinated. If you don't get vaccinated, then you lose your job or you don't get paid or something like that. So, but Austria's clearly specified discos and gyms, you need to get vaccinated. So, but I think they're going to roll that out all through all other services that you get in society and all sectors. I think in the near future, they're going to do that. Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating. I haven't been to a gym here, but it seems like they have similar policies at some. I don't know if it's all, but you have to be vaccinated to get into the gym spot and pump some iron or whatever else it is. He said he's not in a hurry to get the vaccine. I can understand that, given all of the wackiness that has ensued. Let's see. Our folks who, now we still haven't even got to the Haitian assassination and protests on the continent. Like, man, what a week. The number for folks listening in, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. For folks, make sure you are mindful. This is not like our normal broadcast where it's 3 hours in duration. We have a little less than 30 minutes left. So if you think you have a question, comment you want to get into some of our international participants, do not wait till the last 5 minutes. Go ahead, get a hand up. We will get your question in before we wrap things up. I definitely want to make sure I get your thoughts on the Haitian assassination, as well as the protests that are happening in South Africa. They're also protesting in Cuba right now as well. So much happening worldwide. I like to check in just to see folks that are with us. Andrew in the UK, African 1884, Austria, or Adam, lots of A's, in Sweden. Any topics, thoughts, suggestions that you want to make sure you share before we wrap things up? We still want to get to the assassination and all that, but just anything that you all wanted to make sure you, that we talked about that we haven't covered already or might not get to?
Just the situation in South Africa, you know, that's something that we should keep our ears open to and kind of like follow up and just, you know, get informed about that. It's again, they're saying this is the worst route since the end of apartheid or something, or they've never seen anything like this, even during the apartheid era or something like that. A lot of white folks in South Africa are armed, so I've been seeing videos of white folks shooting so-called black looters, you know. Yeah, so it's pretty sad, you know, so we should keep an eye open to that and just follow up on progress and just to find out what's really going. Yeah, thanks.
Very important. That was, had that in my notes to make sure we talked about that. The so-called rioting, former President Jacob Zuma turned himself into authorities facing these charges of corruption during his time in office. The way it's being reported, at least, they're saying that Mr. Zuma's supporters are to blame, that they have coordinated these disturbances to go out and break the law and disrupt what they call democracy in South Africa. Just as African 1884 said, I've seen a lot of that. They say all the time those metaphors. What does he say? I've seen lots of reporting where that exactly has been said. Oh my gosh, this is the worst rioting since the days of apartheid. Oh my gosh, we never solved anything like this, even the days of apartheid. Like, oh my goodness. And then within that same context, they'll come back and say, oh my goodness. And one of the first things they did was go to loot. They've been using the word loot a lot. They didn't say loot with the soccer fans at the stadium. See, they were passionate, see. But with these folks here, they were looting in South Africa. And what did they loot? The liquor store. Wow, now they had that go out around the world, that we haven't seen anything this bad. In fact, it wasn't this bad in the days of apartheid. But now that we have our rainbow nation and corrupt Negro rule, the Negros are looting beer. Mandela rolling over in his grave. Like, woo! Let's see. Any other topics that folks wanted to make sure they... Andrew in the UK, Adam in Sweden?
Really just wanted just to add just this, really. You see, what's happening in South... And I'm glad... I think it may have been Africa in 1884 that brought it up about what's going on in South Africa. Really, really important. Also, what's going on in northern Nigeria in terms of Boko Haram and the kidnappings of school kids and all the rest of these things. You see, the whole African continent at the moment is going through, is heading towards industrial and technological boom. You know, that's where the continent in general is heading, because it basically it's got a young, very, very young population, and they're educated, right? It's Europe's job and America's job to destabilize as many countries as possible. White people have to consider if they're going to work hand in hand with China or in order to destabilize and disunite those African countries. What they've relied on in the past is a lot of corrupt African leaders. In other words, just pay them a bit of money and you can, you know, they will sort of help out. Deposit some money in some European Swiss banks. And, you know, you could keep those African leaders in their pockets, but can they do that with young Africans? You know, that is the question. It's going to be a lot harder. But the whole thing about destabilization, those things, right? America is, and this is the link with Haiti, America is, I believe, doing that, able to do that in their back garden, the Caribbean, right? Exerting power that far abroad in Africa is becoming slightly harder. So it'd be interesting in the next 20 years as to where all that goes, you know. The old African leaders are dying, thank God, and it's making way for newer, younger, more, conscious African, younger African leaders, if you want to use that phrase. So it's going to be very interesting to see where it all goes in the next 20 years, you know. It's good that Zuma and people like him, they have to go, and they are going.
Context of white supremacy. I think we had one of your fellow countrymen, so-called, Paul Ifeomi Grant. He was on the program, or he's been on many times, but he was on specifically. We talked about how racists, white supremacists, they will use a victim of racism and say, hey, we'll, as you say, hey, take a few dollars, or maybe take many dollars, maybe take a few billion dollars. And do some old backroom corrupt deal with you. You personally get some coins, and then we get to continue to do our nefarious racist activity and mess over the other non-white people here and get to put a black face on it and all the rest of it. Like, we talked about that way back in the day. Strive for justice. Don't mistreat other non-white people. Let's see. Our caller. Caller in Ohio. If you had a question for any of our international participants, line should be open. Do you have a question?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Golden in Ohio. I just had a question about internationally the vaccines. Do they happen to know which countries those which pharmaceutical companies those are, and what ages are they approved, and are their governments fully authorizing these? Do these have full approval from the their governments, or are they conditional like on for emergency use? And that's it. Thank you.
Interesting pharmaceutical question. That'll probably vary depending on the region. Let's see, we can start African 1884. So do you know which vaccines have been authorized there? Have they been like authorized by the government in Austria? Which pharmaceutical companies have vaccines that are being used there? What age groups? Like she had a pretty wide range of specific questions. Do you have any of that information, sir?
Yeah, I think the main of vaccines are Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. They were administering AstraZeneca, and then they had to stop that because of the side effects. The age is to be vaccinated. I think now it's from 16 years and above. 16 years and above, yes. So between 16 and 80 years old or 100 and everything, yeah. That's it. And I mean, the vaccines are, again, the government is the one that's administering them. So there's not a lot of mention of the pharmaceutical companies, you know. We've not caught that in the media and everything, nothing. Yeah.
Have they been...
That's my response.
Have they been government approved? I know here in the U.S. we have the Food and Drug Administration. I don't know what that body would be.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, they have been government approved. Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer have been government approved, yes.
Okay. Government approved and everything. How about that? Let's see. Andrew in England. So which vaccines do you all have access to? The ages, are these government approved yet, or are they still pending?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to all over Europe, really. We have AstraZeneca and Pfizer, that, you know, they're both government approved. That's what those two are, the main ones, as I understand it, that everyone's been receiving. I think there's probably one or two others that I've heard of being administered in the UK. I don't know what they are. I have heard that on TV, but definitely AstraZeneca and Pfizer are the ones that the majority of people in the UK have been receiving. I don't know what drugs companies make them. As I understand it, one of them is made in, unless I have it wrong, made in Germany. I don't know which one that is, basically. So yeah.
Do you know the age groups?
As I understand it, both, unless I got it wrong, both of those drugs have been given to everybody, as far as I understand it, right down. I mean, where this country's now offering vaccines to the college kids. So if you're 18 and above, you can go and get a vaccine. You can go and get any one of those if you want to. There's been an issue with young people taking up the vaccine recently, but that's a different issue. So so it's those two drugs are open right down to the age of 18.
Fascinating. Okay. Let's see. Is our last one? Is it Adam in Sweden? Our last check-in for what was it? Which pharmaceutical companies have drugs in your area? The age range? Has it been government approved in Sweden?
Yes, I don't remember the name of the vaccine, but it has been government approved, and the age groups are from 18, and then you can take it.
Okay, 18. I guess I know here in the U.S., it's moved to 12. I don't know if it's that in every state. I think it might be, but it's 12 and up. Vaccine, you can get it. I know here in the Seattle area, like, you can go anywhere. You can go to the grocery store, get it for free. They don't have the AstraZeneca one here. I think Adam in the UK had said that they had to stop that one, had some side effects, problems. But, yeah, you can go to the grocery store, no appointment needed. Get your vaccine. They have lots of signs up all over. And as I said yesterday, even lots of individuals classified as white who have, like, paraphernalia bragging about their vaccination status, T-shirts and caps and the whole nine. It's something to behold. Let's see. Last 10 minutes or so before we dial in, I had already said the situation in Haiti. I think Adam in the UK was linking the destabilization. So important. One of our listeners was talking about the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, written by a suspected race soldier, on that very subject, going into destabilize areas with non-white people, especially if they're trying to be constructive. And he's talking about Africa having a young population that's also received a lot of attention over the past week, is the assassination of Haitian President Moise. They talked about, they had reports at the New York Times and other main outlets that there were reports that some of the murder suspects may, or at least were announcing some sort of affiliation with the DEA. They had reports of mercenaries who were so-called Colombians and not even affiliated with the so-called Nation of Haiti. It has been just, I guess, another illustration of Mr. Fuller talked about keeping this so-called country as a head-shaking example of this is what happens when you challenge racists. I guess thoughts on this assassination, and it's just been, you know, talk of bedlam, like, what are we going to do when they have a void in leadership? And oh my goodness, the whole country's in crisis and they never really recovered from the earthquake and everything else. Thoughts on the I don't want to call it crisis, but the situation, events as they are unfolding in Haiti. Let's see, we can start African 1884.
Yes, we got that reported in the media here. I mean, the Austrian local TV reported on that too. My thoughts in that regard, again, it's just white supremacy rearing its head again. And unfortunately, again, many of us don't connect the dots and everything. And we tend to put a lot of trust in the current systems, quote unquote nation states, and the so-called leaders that are put in those countries. So, I mean, this is reminiscent of what happened to someone like Gaddafi, you know. So these folks have got so much up the sleeve planned, you know. And because I hear that the president, the Haitian president that was killed was, I think, working together with some U.S. officials or something, and there were some riots against him in the country or something like that. And then now he's taken out, and then now the people are rioting, trying to find out who killed him and everything. And then you have I think it was the prime minister requesting for white supremacists to come into the country, to come in, you know, calm down all these other Negroes that are running up in the streets and burning places all over the, you know, and you know, turning things upside down, you know. So it's really sad, you know. But again, you have to put all this into context, and if you're not careful, you're gonna end up blaming people that look like us, you know, that look like you, for what's going on in Haiti, you know. So again, under this context, these things are bound to happen, and it's gonna happen again in another country, unfortunately. Yeah, thank you.
Context of white supremacy, indeed, that happens all the time in this system. Blaming other people that look like you if you are classified as non-white. Let's see, Adam in Sweden, any thoughts on the assassination in Haiti and how that's being talked about, reported in your part of the world?
think it's a tragedy and the truth to be revealed about it. But under the system of white supremacy, I got my doubts. I heard about the DA. There was a person that was in the DA, I believe, that's being reported. So it's very interesting.
Absolutely. I could easily, as he said, see this being one of those where a white person comes 20 years later and writes a book about all of this, and we finally get all the details. It turns out there were DEA agents in Haiti. Who knew? Adam, in the UK?
Andrew Ross.
Andrew, I'm sorry. Sorry.
A very interesting one because, you know, I've heard quite a few things about the president, and I don't claim to be an expert on it, and I'm still learning, still trying to find out the detail on him, especially. All right. So the things I've heard is this: I heard that he was trying to change the constitution so that he could remain in power. That's one of the things that I heard. I'm still doing my own research about that one. That would cheese anybody off. I also heard that possibly drugs may or may not have been involved in terms of drug smuggling. Again, I don't know if that's true or not. I want to stress, I do not know if that's true or not. It's been made to look like Colombia is a drugs capital. And it's a kidnapping capital of the world, right? For those that don't know. So if I was a racist American CIA agent, I would basically, what I would personally do, I wouldn't do it with American Secret Service. I would send over some Colombians, right? Or at least I'd make it look as if it's Colombians, and I'd send them in and make them do what I want. That's what I would do. Right. Somebody might say, well, what power does the Haitian prime minister have? What point would America have for, you know, dealing with a Haitian president in this manner? I don't know. I do not know. Normally it's to do with raw resources. Normally it's to do with resources. So I'm going to be looking into that as well. What resources is in Haiti or in and around Haiti? I don't know, but I will be looking at that. I've never heard of anything like this ever happening in the Caribbean. Unless somebody can point to something, I've never heard of anything happening like this in the Caribbean. So I've also heard that his political rivals in Haiti didn't like the fact that he was trying to change the constitution or something like that, and so sought. You know, paid for these Colombian mercenaries to come in and do this, right? All of those things may or may not be true. I'm looking at some of the headlines now, and the headlines are as follows. Some suspected assassins of Haitian president received U.S. training. Miami security firm faces questions in Haiti assassination. Several tied to Haiti assassination plot were previously U.S. law enforcement. That's some of the headlines I've just read, that I've just seen on the internet. I don't know if any of it's true, but the big player in the area is America. That's the big player, right? It's as simple as that. So that's some of the stuff that I've heard in all, you know, amongst a lot of other stuff. I would advise everybody to go away and do their own research to get to the truth. That's what I would advise.
Indeed. I think we had mentioned previously in the broadcast today racists being able to get black people and put them in positions where they can do things and then have black people be blamed for it, where the folks who are most to blame are classified as white. And certainly there are lots and lots of meddling whites in the affairs of what happens on the very tiny island of Haiti. Let's see. Andrew in the UK. Sorry, Andrew in the UK. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. It is currently 72 degrees here in sunny Seattle. This is the type of weather that we've had since the heat wave ended some time back, when it was god-awful, like 40 degrees C every day for three straight days. But today we're at 72 Fahrenheit, that is 22 C. So lovely day. Been sitting outside enjoying the sunny Sunday afternoon. Could have been sitting at the beach, but nope, we are here discussing white supremacy racism. We should be here Thursday for the book club. Folks can tune in. Randall Sullivan, The Assassination of Tupac Shakur, Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, LAPD, corruption. Talk about white people being most to blame, but somehow they end up shifting blame to non-white people. That would be another example right there. But we'll be here Thursday for that. The Cows listener-supported counter-racist radio. Invest if you think the program is constructive. Hit the blog racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. Cash App should be linked as well. It is cash.app/$TheCows. Huge thanks to all the investors who have kept the Cows on the air for 12 plus years. It'll be 13 if we make it to February. I hope the Cows has been, continues to be, worthy of your time and energy, and that we're offering relevant, constructive information. Hopefully, we are more accurate than not about what white supremacy racism is, how it works, things that non-white people can and should be doing to solve this problem pronto. Let's see. And we're on Amazon wish list. Gusty Renegade at Amazon.com. Let's see. That was African 1884?
Yeah, I just want to add something with regard to when we spoke about Haiti and what happened there. And, you know, the questions that people raise, especially within the black people, they'll try and find out what could be the reasons that if you say it's white supremacists were part of this, were mostly to blame, people tend to ask you what are the reasons. And I remember speaking to Mr. Fuller, and he told me that there are usually four reasons the white supremacists are involved, you know. And one of them is just for fun. You know, they will just go to a black space, or space that predominantly with black people, and they'll just go there for fun and just see people die, run around, throw stones, shoot each other. The second reason could be glory. You know, they want to be glorified. Okay, they're so powerful, so they do around the world and everything. And also fame. That's a third reason. You know, they want to be famous. And the fourth one is the material gain. So as black people, we need to put all these four reasons at the back of our heads when we see any space predominantly black that's been destabilized. You know, the white supremacists could be doing it for fun, for glory, for material gain, or just for fame. Thank you. I just wanted to add that.
Much obliged, African 1884. Just with this area of the world and the... This is like 200 years of vengeance. Racists can be very vindictive, especially if they say we got an uppity nigra here who has challenged our authority. And I think that's how Haiti continues to be viewed, has been viewed for more than 200 years now. Fun. The other F word. Fun. We just love it. Let's go and smack these niggers around. As he said, we just love it. Kill some niggers and watch them run around and be confused. They don't know what's going on. Then they'll come run to us. Please help us, because they don't have a choice. We're in charge. They have to run to us. Please come help us figure out who did the killing. We did the killing. But all right, we'll help you. We'll help you figure it out, you poor helpless little children. We'll help you get it together. Pitiful. Fun. racist left. I don't think a lot of us, we tend to think of practicing racism as like the Klan and George Floyd and all of that. I don't think we would think of racism as, yes, that's another one. I can call myself, what is it? We're a part of an NGO. We'll help you children get your act together, help you run your elections and such. Any other final comments folks need to get in before we wrap up?
Gus, I'd just like to say I totally agree with the last comment. Fun. I totally agree with that.
Can do some literal splashing of mud on people, you know. Go out and go down there. Oh, they're starving. Oh, my goodness. The people are groveling. Fun in the system of white supremacy. And we write, Amy Wilentz, we had a white woman on the program. She wrote books about that. Let me go down and document the suffering of the Negroes. Like, oh my gosh, you've never seen poverty until you've been to Haiti. Like, oh my gosh, you want to see some poor black people. Like, woof. Fun. And material gain, too. You go write a book and make some money about all the fun times you had in Haiti. Anything you want to add in before we sign out, Adam?
No, sir.
Much obliged. Thank you kindly for joining us. Adam in Sweden, Andrew in the UK, African 1884 in Austria. Our Golden in Ohio dialed in her interesting questions. See some of the differences in these vaccine policies throughout the universe. So we will be here for the book club. You have to check the Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, for updates before Thursday. Other guests coming to the cows. Amy Schmidt should be coming. She is a white woman. She just wrote the book Right of Way, talking about how lots and lots of non-white people die at traffic intersections that are deliberately designed in an unsafe manner. If it's an area where a lot of non-white people live, they don't. What I'm looking at right now, big fat crosswalk, big neon sign. Hey, slow it down. Disproportionately, non-white people live in areas that don't have crosswalks, those signs. Slow it down. And the speed limit. I can't see what the speed limit for this area is right here, but I'd be willing to bet it's lower than 30. Non-white people tend to live on streets where you can go much faster, which, if there's any sort of accident, much higher likelihood of a fatality. Amy Schmidt, Right of Way, coming to the cows, and there just been lots of reports of white people hit and runs. We just had a report of a white man who was under the influence. We started and ended. White people and alcohol hit and killed a black male, and it was a hit and run. Hit, killed this black male, ran, and left his wife in the vehicle. Terrorism, tackiness all together. We will do it again shortly. Right on time. Say it. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We will need our brain computers for high-level thinking to solve this problem. In addition to being sober, if you're going to go out, be very aware of things that are happening around you. They got gang problems in Sweden, so I mean, hey, be on high alert. If we're going back out, masks, no, whatever it is, it's too much confusion, too much strife. Be very aware. If someone is being loud and rowdy, this is not the time to have verbal confrontations with strangers, especially in the U.S. You should be thinking, whoa, this person could be armed. In fact, this person may have a whole entourage armed, ready to kill right now. If you didn't leave your residence prepared to die and or kill, exit. Nothing to talk about, nothing to get into. Get out of there. If you need to call enforcement officials, you can do that as you are exiting. If you are driving, you're not on the cell phone. Again, we need all of our attention, and we're trying to minimize contact, even doing the small things. Minimizing contact with race soldiers, badge or no. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people victims of white supremacy, we ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. No name calling. We had enough of that. We could just say, hey, drunk racist hooligans, that's what they do at the football game. Call names and throw bananas, all that nonsense. That's what they do. Universal man, universal woman, we don't call names. We definitely don't call other black people names. No gossiping. Simple things that we can do. No killing other black people. That would go a long way. The situation in Haiti and all that. No killing black people. Small things that would have a huge impact on solving this problem. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.